All right. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
let's go ahead and start our time speaking with our Lord about it. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for each and every time that we have in your word and certainly with one another. And I do pray that you would just direct us and guide us in the things that we're going to look at tonight, in particular, Lord, just the personalness of it. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the opportunity to share that love with others. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, your homework last week was what?
Ephesians 2:8-9.
Anybody want to give it a shot? Joan? Yeah, you got it. Okay, all right. Speaking of the fact that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ specifically, and it has nothing to do with our works. And truly, if it did, then we would have something to boast about, but we don't. And it's a really good passage of scripture that we can share with somebody as we're giving them the good news of Jesus Christ, in particular because it describes to us what is a very, or I should say it negates, am I saying that word right? Negates the common belief that one earns their way to heaven. What is the most effective way to share the gospel? That was one of the points that I gave you.
Personal testimony?
Nope. That's not the most effective. Okay, using God's word is the most effective way. And I gave you a couple patterns that one can follow in using God's word. Anybody remember what they were? Okay, Amanda says Romans Road is one of them. Okay, tracks is something. Romans Road is a way that we can use God's word. There's John's Road. We can share the entire gospel using the Gospel of John to show it. You can use the five truths that we've been talking about since fall. These are all ways that we can effectively share the gospel and use God's word doing it. What is the most effortless way to share the gospel? Joan, you said it actually. Tracts. Just passing out tracts. Passing out tracts, and typically, a great tract is a tract that uses God's word in it. In fact, after our class last Wednesday, Jim Knuth came up to me and gave me a tract that he often passes out, and it's right on the front. All it said was "Get out of hell free" card. So they're playing off Monopoly, but on the back side, it was Romans Road. It was Romans Road. So a very, very clear way to share the gospel with someone. And then we talked a little bit about some qualifiers in using or giving out tracts. Anybody remember what those qualifiers were? Okay, yeah. Ones that use God's word, and then ones that we would be happy to endorse. In fact, I would say any time that we give out a tract to somebody, endorse it. Give them a reason to read it as we hand it to them. The information in this right here changed my life. I think it'll change yours too. The information in this meant a lot to me. I hope it'll mean a lot to you too. So endorse the tract that we give out. And I might just add this, that one other way to get people to hear the gospel. We talked about the most effective way. We talked about the most effortless way. But along with that, another effortless way is to invite somebody to church. While this meeting place, what we do here Sunday mornings, what we do here Wednesday evenings or through any Bible study, while those things are typically geared for believers, okay, we come here to grow in our faith and become equipped, the gospel is shared. It's shared often. In fact, I've found as we've been going through Luke, it's pretty much been an every Sunday thing. So you can invite somebody to church and they can come to know the Lord as a result. I think we talked about Bonnie Mickelson on Sunday and somebody invited her to church. She came to the wrong church. But she still heard the gospel and became a believer. So anyway, I want to look at now the final way that I'm going to give. It's not the final way of sharing Christ. I mean, there's a lot of people that get very creative doing it. We looked at the way of the master, the short video using even the Ten Commandments. But anyway, the final way that I'm going to look at in this class here is really it's the most natural way to share the gospel, and that is your personal testimony. That's the most natural way to share the gospel. Now, in general, what is a testimony? I'm not talking about within the faith, just in general, what is a testimony? Okay, your story about anything that you were involved in, right? Okay, all right. Your story, a detailed statement or account of something you have personally experienced or witnessed. That, in general, is a testimony. I was once in a car accident. I was in a car accident. It wasn't my fault, but it was about a month later I got called up by the courts as a witness. I got rear-ended. It had nothing to do with me. I was just standing there, stopped late, got hit, and no big deal. Police came, did all the reports, left. Well, the fellow that they did ascribe the fault to fought the ticket. And as a result, I was called as a witness to share what I was. And I described in detail, all right, this is where I was. This is what I remember happening to me. And these were the results of that. All right, well, that was me testifying of the accident, my personal experience, my account of what happened there. Now, as Christians, there are lots of things that we can testify about concerning God. We can testify of his goodness in our life. We can testify of his power and provision in our lives. We can testify of his faithfulness toward us. But when it comes to salvation and really our testimony of salvation, it should be a detailed experience or a detailed account of our experience as a result of the gospel. All right. We talked about Romans Road. We talked about John's Road. Well, your testimony of salvation, that's your road. That's the road that you took to get from point A to point B. Now, what is a road used for? Just in general, what does a road do for us? Okay, it gets us from point A to point B. That's what a road does. So from where to where can Romans Road lead a person?
Death to life.
Death to life? What's that?
Hell to heaven.
Lost to found.
Saved. What was that?
Lost to saved,
or even sin. Sinner to saved, right? Okay. So that's Romans road. From where to where can John's road lead us? Same thing, right? And that's really what our testimony of salvation should do. Our road should be able to lead a person from sin to salvation, from hell to heaven, from death to life. Our testimony of salvation should be shared, I think, in such a way that the person that hears it will not only hear how we went from sinner to salvation, but it should be shared in such a way that they too could then find their way from sinner to salvation from what they heard from us. And the sharing of the gospel, it is part of our testimony. This is one of those aspects, I think, of being a believer that it's been my experience anyway that many believers don't quite understand that a testimony of salvation is the sharing of the details of how a person went from point A to point B. All right. I guess as an example, if you didn't already know how to get to Las Vegas, and I said to you, yeah, one day I went to Las Vegas and that's how I got there. Is that enough information for you to get there? It isn't. It really isn't. So what else do you need to know in order for you to get from here to there?
Starting point.
Okay, a starting point. Where were you? Yeah, where did you start from? What else? Okay, a highway number in the case of actually getting to Las Vegas. Yeah. What kind of street am I looking for here? What else?
Specifics, not generalities.
Okay, specifics like north and south?
Directions.
Okay, yeah. Directions. Like, all right. Well, you pull out of our parking lot onto Hafen, make a left heading west. Go all the way out to Riverside. When you get to Riverside, make a right turn, go north, all the way up to Mesquite Boulevard. When you hit Mesquite Boulevard, make a left, go west again, go to the interchange, and get on the southbound I-15 highway. And then travel about 85 miles, and you'll find Las Vegas, okay? So it stands to reason that when we share our testimony of salvation. And I say this, again, I guess because it's been my experience that there are a good deal of believers that while they do earnestly want others to trust in Christ, they share their story in such a way that they say, I got saved when I was 28 years old. And that's how I became a Christian. And there's not enough information there. Telling someone I got saved when I was 28 years old won't get them there. That, by the way, I use that because that's how old I was when I trusted Christ. On the flip side, I've heard many testimonies that were supposed to be testimonies of salvation that were more like life stories, telling the whole story of their life, and then saying, and then I got saved, and then that's the end of their story. One day I went to Las Vegas, and that's how I got there. If someone were to ask us how or why we became a Christian, our answer should be detailed enough that they could get there too. Okay? And it's really not about technique. It is, as Jerry said, it's about telling our story. It's about telling our story of how we got from point A, center, to point B, saved. Okay? And then really what that means, from point A, death, from point to point B, life. And I would recommend, if you haven't already, write down your testimony of salvation. Make sure you're so that you can get all your thoughts on paper and you're not just rambling. Write it down. I would also recommend having a short version of your testimony and a long version of your testimony. Short meaning 5 minutes, long meaning 15 to 20 minutes. In fact, you can actually share your testimony of salvation in a matter of seconds if you needed to. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I would recommend writing it down if you haven't already, having a long and short version so that no matter how much time you might have to share, you can get the gospel and how you received it in there. I became a Christian at 28 years old. However, I grew up believing that I could somehow earn my way to heaven. I thought if my good works outweighed my bad works at the end of my life, I was in. But really, I didn't have a basis for that belief other than I knew lots of other people that believed that too. And it was actually my next older brother who had become a Christian several years before me, along with a few other Christians that were actually in my life at that time. They began sharing with me what the Bible said, what God has to say about himself and about heaven and about me. And as a result of that, I learned that I am a sinner. I did wrong things all the time. I came to that realization and I learned that I couldn't earn heaven, but rather I must simply trust in what Jesus did for me. I learned that God so loved me that he gave his own son to die for me and pay the price for my sin so that if I would only believe in him, trust in what he has done, I could have heaven as a free gift. And so I did. I placed my faith in Jesus rather than myself, and I became a child of God, a Christian. That right there is my short version of my testimony. And I can't count how many times I've shared that. Virtually any time somebody asks me even where you're from or what you do, I will answer their question and then just give them a brief testimony of my salvation. Now, if we often have people over, like if new people come to the church and that, we'll have new people over and kind of find out where they are spiritually. And regardless of where they are spiritually, the instant they ask me about what I do or how I got to Mesquite or sometimes ask me about my testimony of salvation, I will give them, well, typically in that case, a little bit longer version than what I gave you here. But that's my short version, and that's really enough. That was 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It's enough. In fact, we can give our testimony in one line. I placed my faith in Jesus Christ to save me from my sin when I was 28 years old, and I received the free gift of eternal life in heaven, just as God promises. And know that while the shorter our version is, the more questions still remain. Even with a really short one-line testimony, they too now know that they need to place their faith in Jesus in order for them to have their sins paid for and have heaven as a gift. Now, I don't remember everything that I was told by the people that shared the gospel with me. I don't. There were lots and lots of conversations over the course of probably 10 years of planting seeds. So I don't remember everything that was told, but I do know what I learned in that process and how I responded, all right? And so that is what I share. If you have more time, if I have more time, I will share a little bit more about what I remember about some of those conversations. But our testimony, again, of salvation is sharing of our salvation story in a way that those we are sharing with can plainly see how we became a Christian, and they can then know how they can become one too. Well, here are some things that I think are good to include in our testimony of salvation. And again, this is if we have a few minutes, if you and I have a few minutes of time to actually share with a person. Number one, when you became a Christian. For me, I was 28 years old. And it plainly, as I stated earlier, I became a Christian when I was 28 years old. This plainly distinguishes that at one point in time, I wasn't a Christian, but then after that point, I was, okay? And then at this point, I was. And some who trusted in Christ really early in life, some of you perhaps, and you don't remember the exact moment, that's okay. You can just say, I was really young, or I was 5 or 7 years old, or whatever it is. Make a close estimate. You may not even recognize a when, but really there had to be one. There had to become a point in time when you decided, this is true. I believe it. Okay? You may not remember that, but there was that point in time for you. So share with as close of an estimate as you can when you became a Christian. Here's something else, where you were. Okay? And that's really spiritually speaking. Now, a physical location is not critical, but a spiritual one can be. What did you believe then? Where did you come from? What did you believe then? How did you act and live your life? Share those things. Agree that you were a sinner. Now, don't go into great detail about the sins you committed. That really doesn't matter. Rather, simply share what your spiritual condition was. I was a sinner. I came to realize that I was a sinner. That's where I was. Another thing to include is what you learned. And this really is where the gospel comes in. You may not remember all of the intricate details, but you do know now what you had to come to realize in order to receive salvation. You had to learn what that good news is so that you could receive it. So with the best of your ability, share that, okay? I know my brother at one point shared John 3:16 with me, except he put my name in it. And he said, "For God so loved Craig that he gave his only begotten son so that if Craig would only believe in him, Craig would not perish but have everlasting life." And that made the gospel very, very personal to me. All of a sudden I realized this is just not some blanket statement in God's word. This is for me. This is for me. Okay? And I often share that in my long version of testimony so that the person I'm sharing it with can also understand that they need to make it personal too. So share what you learned, and then share how you responded. So I did. I believed. I placed the full weight of my trust in Jesus alone to save me from my sin. I trusted in him and what he did for me. And share that so that the hearers know that they too must do it in order to receive it. And then the last thing you can include in a testimony of salvation is really why it mattered. And this might be a little bit about what the Lord has done in your life since. Perhaps some of the great changes that have taken place as a result. Maybe even sharing about some of the trials that you encountered right after that and how the Lord saw you through those things. All right. And then, anyway, just telling your own story, it is the most natural way to share the gospel. And perhaps one more perk, I'm just going to call it a perk, about sharing the gospel that way is no one can rightfully argue with you. When you're sharing your story, that's your story. When you're sharing the gospel using your story, they cannot rightfully argue with your own salvation experience. This is your testimony. Share when you became a Christian, where you were spiritually, what you learned about the good news, and how you responded, and then why it mattered. And just quickly, we're going to get done here early tonight, I can tell already. I knew we would, but that's okay. Here are some things that might be best to leave out of your testimony. And some of them are not necessarily bad, they're just not really important. Some of them you definitely don't want to do, but this one included, the first one, details about sin. It's best to leave details about sin out of your testimony. Now that does not mean that you will never talk about these things. You may need to talk about the deep hurt. Okay, the things that you were involved, you may need to talk about that with somebody at some point. But in sharing your testimony of salvation, details about sin are probably best left out. It's enough to share that perhaps, I don't know, maybe you lived a promiscuous lifestyle or you did indulge in some sinful activities, or maybe you had an addictive vice that influenced or even destroyed something about your life. But I don't think it's necessary to go into the extreme details of those activities or events. I remember many, many years ago, right after we became new believers, I heard a testimony once in which the man described even right down to how many lines of cocaine he would do every day and how many women he had bedded, okay? But for the purpose of sharing our testimony, we want God magnified, not the sin. We want God magnified, not the sin. In fact, as I remember listening to this particular fellow's story, and again, I was a new believer at the time, I began thinking about things in my past and thinking about, I don't even the old days and almost one-upping him. No, I never did lines of cocaine or anything like that, okay? But you know, it takes your mind when you share things like that. It takes your mind to a place that will magnify the sin rather than the Lord. And that's not what we want to accomplish when we share our testimony. So it might be best to leave out details about sin. Secondly, don't embellish your testimony. Don't try to make it more exciting than you think it is. There have been a good number of people, that believers that I have met, that said, oh, you don't want to hear my testimony, it's boring. You know, I didn't get into any trouble when I was young. Praise the Lord for that, right? And honestly, there is no such thing as a boring testimony. Every single testimony of salvation communicates a miracle of God, a true miracle of God. So tell it like it is, because your testimony, it will relate to somebody. As you're sharing it, at some point in time, it's going to relate to somebody. Again, I've never done a line of cocaine. I've never lived a promiscuous lifestyle, so I can't even really relate to that. So don't embellish your testimony. Don't talk about details about sin. Another thing is avoid Christian cliches, those things that we talked about a few weeks ago, the Christianese talk, okay, that lost people won't understand anyway. So avoid those Christian cliches. There was a counselor up at camp. In fact, this is a Christian cliche that we didn't mention a few weeks ago. But every time he would share his testimony, the counselors do it very, very regularly around campfires and with their campers. But every time he shared his testimony, he had a line that he liked to use, and it was, "I got saved for fire insurance." Now you and I, we kind of know what that means, don't we? Okay, he got saved to be spared from hell fire. So he had that little cliche that he used, but you know, there are kids around the campfire, junior campers, 8 years old, like, what? You know, they have no idea what that means. So as we share our testimony, avoid those Christian cliches. Fourthly, refrain from mentioning the religion you came from. Refrain from mentioning the religion you came from. What might be a benefit of that?
Well, a detriment could be that you might potentially offend someone who's listening to your testimony.
Okay.
Just implying that if they identify with their religion, you could be implying the religion's
absolutely
wrong.
Absolutely.
Close them down.
Yeah. In fact, another thing, I keep going back to camp, but that camp is probably where I hear more testimonies of salvation than any other time through the year. And we let our counselors know that it's best not to mention religions you came from for that very reason. We got campers from all over southern Utah and southern Nevada there, a lot of them coming from false religions. And if I started my testimony by saying, I used to be Mormon, or I used to be Catholic, or something like that, there might be somebody around that campfire that the instant they hear that I left the Catholic Church or the Mormon Church, that's all they're thinking about. They won't even hear the rest of what I say, especially if they're devout in that religion. And again, refrain from mentioning the religion you came from, if you came from one. And I'll just say this. This is probably more important in group settings where you don't know who the audience is. Okay? It does depend on the group. You may go to a retreat or something and share your testimony where you know, it's a large group, but you know everybody there, and you can share that. But in large groups where the potential exists that you don't know the background or the spiritual condition of everybody listening, it would be a huge benefit to refrain from mentioning the religion you came from. And then I'll just throw this one in there because it's one that I hear a lot, and it's not a bad thing. I just don't know that it's a necessary thing. And that is the spiritual condition of the home you grew up in. Okay? the spiritual condition of the home you grew up in. It's probably irrelevant. I've often heard people who've trusted in Christ early in life begin their testimony by saying, I grew up in a Christian home, meaning both parents were believers. And while that, I think that is a wonderful thing, quite a blessing. In fact, I'm actually a little bit jealous of those that did grow up in a home like that. That is not a requirement to become a Christian. And there are many who did not grow up in Christian homes. And they came to trust Christ as a child as well. Okay? I didn't come to Christ as a child, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home and I became a Christian. And if you share that either you did or you didn't, the hearer could think that it matters. Okay? And it doesn't. I'm not condemning it. I just don't think it's a necessary thing. All right? And if you share, again, either that you did or you didn't, the hearer may think that it matters whether you did or didn't, and it doesn't, so don't. The Apostle Paul shares his testimony of salvation. In fact, I was just talking to Mitch about this before our class here tonight, but he shares it personally twice in the book of Acts, in really intricate detail. He also had to share it with Luke, as Luke recorded it a third time in Acts. Actually, it's the first one in as you go chronologically. And then Paul shared it very, very briefly in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, I delivered to you that which I also received. And then he goes on to share what the gospel is. In Galatians, he gives a snippet of his testimony of salvation. And in Romans chapter 7, there's a portion there where it appears that he's actually giving a testimony of salvation. And my point is this, is that if Paul, the most prolific of the apostles, has his testimony appear that many times in Scripture, I wonder how many times he told it outside of Scripture. In fact, I wonder that if every town that Paul went into as he entered the synagogue, first place he went, if that's what he began with, was his testimony of salvation. So it is a very, the most natural way to share the gospel, because you're just telling your story of how you went from point A to point B. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense. That could actually be a testimony to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to always be ready to take those opportunities. We don't know who we're going to meet, what questions they're going to ask us. But as we pray for opportunities to share the gospel, and God puts a person in our life, and all of a sudden that person says, so what brought you to Mesquite? We can say, well, God did. God brought me to Mesquite. Here's how it happened. All right. Or what do you do for a living? Well, God's called me to be an insurance salesman. God called me to be a mom. God called me to be a real estate agent, whatever it may be, okay? And it's an open door to now testify and give an answer to those people who ask. All right. It is with that in mind. I was really hoping more people would be here so it wouldn't, I'd have more people to pick on. But I'm going to pick on a couple people. And I'll start with my own daughter. Amanda, how did you become a Christian? Okay. All right. Very good. Dave, how did you become a Christian?
I don't remember the exact moment, but as it was shared back to me with my parents, it was at a Bible camp, at a family camp where we were in a class, and a teacher in that class shared with us heaven and hell, that we were sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus paid that penalty for us so that we did not have to pay it on our own. And very young, I understood enough that was able to go back and visit with my mom and have her reiterate that, and then understood enough to believe, and was saved in a Bible class.
Okay, very good. Joan, I know you weren't making eye contact, but Joan, how did you become a Christian?
You don't remember.
Not as well as you.
And so afterwards, that church became kind of political.
Okay.
So it split. And then when it was split, and the man from Dallas Theological Seminary came in. It's the first time I heard expository teaching of the word. And both of us just, woo, this is fantastic. And started growing then. And we went to ladies' Bible study and doing all that. And so then it made me a bit nervous. I thought, I don't think I asked Christ to come into my life when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything. My mother, I had asked her, and she said, well, you used to ask me all the time about Christ, but I don't remember all that.
Okay.
Now I remember all this stuff and this teaching that we're getting, and it's just fantastic of learning the scripture and knowing all this stuff. So I was in my house, had to be about 31 years old at that time. I don't remember the exact day or anything like that, but I was crying just by myself, pacing the floor, talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
So, well, I want you to come into my life. And
okay.
Save me, and, you know, create me a clean heart.
Right. Right.
So I asked him to come in right then. I had trouble with baptism because I was baptized. was several years after that that I decided I needed to be baptized.
Okay, okay.
That doesn't have anything to do with salvation, but I want to be baptized
right.
to show the Lord that I'm following.
Sure.
And so I was baptized several years later.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Kind of an overview.
Yeah. No, that's really all you need, because again, because you don't know how much time you're going to have to share, but I think it is important to describe, this is where I was. This is what I learned. This is how I responded. Yeah. And when you do that, then the person you're sharing with can know, well, I'm right there right now. And I've just learned this. I want to do that too. So anyway, very, very good. Very good. And that's actually where we're going to end our evening tonight. But just know that, again, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, write down a testimony of salvation, a short version, a longer version, and again, short could be anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, a longer version, 15 to 20 minutes, and that way you've got it down on paper, and you might be surprised at what you do remember detail-wise as you begin putting it on paper. And then once you've got it on paper, find some people to share it with. You know, it might even be some brothers and sisters in Christ coming over. Give everybody the opportunity to share their testimony of salvation. They're great stories to hear. And again, it is a very, very natural way to share the gospel with unbelievers. All right. And that's where we're going to kind of wrap this part up. Next week, Lord willing, and you know what? I forgot to get you another Bible verse. Oops. All right. I'll have to do that next week then. But next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at answering questions and kind of fielding some objections that people often bring up. And as we go through that next week, you're going to see, oh yeah, I've heard that one, okay? But anyway, it'll give us an opportunity to kind of think through what the question is, why they're asking it, and perhaps the best scripture to use to answer some of those questions. But unless you've got any thoughts or comments, we will be done. Dave?
Have you memorized this one yet?
We haven't memorized it.
I was going to say you said you didn't get.
I didn't. I was gonna focus on ones that we would actually use in sharing the gospel, just so we had those locked in. I'm trying to think if I could get one. All right. How about 1 John 5:13? 1 John 5:13 will be our memory verse for next week, and I better write that down too. First John 5:13. All right, and I will close in prayer. Father, again, thank you for the story of you that we can tell. Thank you for putting people in our lives that could share the truth of your word with us. Thank you for the clarity and simplicity of the gospel, and that truly even someone that is 4 and 5 and 6 years old or 28 years old can see it for what it is and understand it. And again, thank you for our story, which we can share with those around us, like Paul did, to lead them to the Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just on a side note quickly, I think it's Paul's testimony in Acts.